Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, confusing Iraq with Ukraine. George W. Bush has a very interesting statement about foreign affairs. David Perdue running for governor of Georgia, primarying Brian Kemp, joins us. Also, the 11 Republicans that deserve to be acknowledged and praised for their vote on Ukraine. That and so much more. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Make sure you are subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. We have some very important sister episodes out right now about the World Health Organization. So make sure you listen to those and send them to your friends. When you send episodes of this program to your friends, it really helps us grow and flourish. So thank you for that. You can support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get behind the work we are doing at Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Come to our Young Women's Leadership Summit at tpusa.com/YWLS. That's tpusa.com/YWLS. Get engaged, get involved with Turning Point USA today. Start a high school or college chapter at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, I want to connect two seemingly unrelated stories. Let me start with this one. Internal Democrat polling. Democrats are, quote, getting blown out in November. A new report reveals that the Democrats Party internal polling shows them getting blown out in November's congressional elections. At a meeting with the DCCC, the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, Chair Sean Patrick Maloney said Democrats who are on the bubble in the upcoming election, we're informed that in battleground districts, the generic Republican is beating the generic Democrat by a whopping 8 points. Biden plus 8 districts are now toss-ups. CLF polled 16 districts that Joe Biden won by an average of 8 points. In those districts, the generic ballot was tied and Joe Biden's approval was -8. In those seats, 49% of voters say they want a Republican in Congress to provide a check on Biden. And so, look, I'm a loyal and public Donald Trump fan. With that being said, it is just being honest that there is 8 to 15% of the population that will vote Republican that refuse to vote for Donald Trump. Those people exist. I know a lot of those people. I know a lot of those people are Republican in their political perspective, but they are anti-Trump in more ways than one. DCCC polling and CLF polling. I think CLF polling is the Congressional Leadership Fund. Quote, Democrats are getting crushed. And they are. Everyone knows people like that. And this is not a slight against Trump. It just so happens to be the mass propaganda campaign, Trump style, 8 to 12 to 15% of the country, right in that kind of middle ground suburban voters that have Republican views. They did not vote for Trump. Now, Trump was able to make up for a lot of that with enthusiasm, blue collar Democrats. But what seems to be happening coming to this November, what seems to be happening in the next couple of months is a worst case scenario combination effect of Republicans maxing out their support with people that will vote Republican no matter what. All of Trump voters, in addition to that, plus an additional 2 to 3 to 5% of just ticked off voters on top of it. So you're just playing with house money at that point. I mean, you're talking about all of the Trump base potentially showing up in record numbers. You're talking about swing voters going your way that have not gone Republican ways in quite some time, plus the maximum Republican kind of turnout you can imagine. And also winning over voters that are high propensity voters that just Donald Trump was not their type of candidate. We all know people like that. We tried to win them over. We tried to convince them. And I hear it all the time. Charlie, I will vote for all Republicans, not Donald Trump. Why? Tone, temperament, whatever. But moving in the midterms where Trump is not on the ballot, Democrats are going to try to make it seem like Trump's on the ballot. They will fail in that regard. because people are kind of fatigued with that kind of line of attack. They say, okay, well, I hate the guy, but I like this Republican and I want lower gas prices and I want a check on power. That is not going to be an effective accusation or an effective political attack going into November. So that's one piece of news. Internal Democrat polling shows Democrats getting blown out in November. Now, a seemingly disconnected story, which is actually connected completely, is, quote, NBC, analysis of Hunter Biden's hard drive proves $11 million in payments from China. Now, what do those two stories have to do with one another? You're trying to tell me that NBC would send a bunch of reporters to look through Hunter Biden's laptop to create a negative headline if Democrats were doing super well right now? Remember, the entire probe criminally into Hunter Biden is nakedly political for the sole and intended purpose and fact to try to make Joe Biden removable. Now, Joe Biden does have an insurance policy. Joe Biden's handlers were very smart in one way. You might say, Charlie, what is that insurance policy? The insurance policy is not like the Peter Strzok smirk or the Lisa Page lover from the FBI. No, the insurance policy is that they decided to pick an even more unpopular person to become vice president, which is if the regime wants to remove Joe Biden, they say, oh boy, we got to deal with the cackler. That's not good. The Biden team realized that the only thing less popular than Joe Biden is Kamala Harris. So they got a decision to make. They say, well, at least we can control Biden because, I mean, Hunter did crimes all across the world. NBC News, Hunter Biden's hard drive shows he, his firm, earned $11 million from 2013 to 2018. Look, this is a common technique that is executed by deep state Democrats against politicians they don't like. Andrew Cuomo fell victim to this. Jesse Jackson Jr. fell victim to this. Rod Blagojevich fell victim to this. It is a common technique, which is to use all of the previously rumored criminal activity of a Democrat, bring it to the surface to try to get that Democrat to heel or to foos, it was a dog term I used yesterday, to obey. And if they become politically unuseful, which we just are showing, that's Joe Biden is so unpopular, you have a means of removing him or a means of making sure that he does not run for office. Now, Joe Biden's insurance policy is anytime these kind of veiled threats are put forward, Ron Klain and the very few but ardent Biden loyalists will say, as bad as Joe is, you don't want Cammy. As bad as Joe is, you don't want her. They got a point. Now, I really do wonder, though, I forget the polling, over a period of time, would the Democrats be better with Biden in charge or Kamala Harris in charge? I think it's about a wash. However, I think that Kamala Harris would make people madder. This is my current theory. I think that Joe Biden makes people frustrated, but Joe Biden is really hard to get mad at. I mean, I get mad at him. You get mad at him. But it's almost like your best impulses of compassion for the elderly and the disadvantaged kind of take over as soon as you start screaming at Biden. Yeah, you have the Let's Go brand and stuff and all that. But Kamala Harris is really easy to get angry at. Like, really easy. Like, so I think that from an enthusiasm and a frustration standpoint, Democrats, I think, are a little worried that Kamala Harris could have the same sort of consolidation that Obama had against him. Like, Obama was very easy to get mad at. Why? Because Obama's smug. And he's slippery. And Obama is cocky. Kamala Harris has a little bit of that, too. And Kamala Harris is just, her cackle and her laugh is enough to shatter glass. Where Joe Biden has all these problems and he confuses countries and people and his own identity and all that. But at least it's kind of, there is this thing that stops you and says, but I don't hate him. I mean, I wish him well. I hope he'll go land softly in Del Boca Vista or whatever old person's home you can imagine. So these seemingly disconnected stories, Democrats looming disaster in November, Hunter Biden being investigated by Department of Justice, $11 million received from China, which is the sub-headline. By the way, he got $11 million from China. They're actually connected. Democrats, here's my takeaway. They're exploring their options. Democrats don't know what to do yet. But they got a lot of options on the table. Remove Biden, put in Cammy, remove them both, get them not to run. But Democrats have all options on the table right now. And that includes, that is why the investigation of Hunter Biden will be accelerating. Have you looked at how much of Russia is inside your 401k or IRA? Did you know my friends at Pax Financial Group have zero investments in Russia through their biblical investment strategy? Those companies were screened out long ago because they didn't pass the treat people right test. One of the most important tenets of the Christian faith is to love your neighbor, and this includes to love your employees. Based on Pax's biblical responsible investment strategy, a company, domestic or international, is excluded from an investment from your portfolio if it violates our innate God-given fundamental rights. So Pax Financial is wonderful. They share our values. In fact, I know people that have switched to Pax Financial from our partnership, and they speak so favorably about it. Stop using the woke money managers. Pax Financial is rooted in biblical wisdom. So if you have $150,000 or more and would like to know more about biblical responsible investing at Pax Financial Group, text CHARLIE to number 74868. That's CHARLIE at number 74868. That's CHARLIE to number 74868. So you just take out your phone, text the number 74868 and type in CHARLIE to get to know about Pax Biblical Responsible Investing. Biblical Responsible Investing Strategy. Take out your phone, text CHARLIE to 74868. They're about to manage some money for me. I really think highly of Pax Financial. Text CHARLIE to number 74868. There is a difference between saying things you don't mean versus saying things you didn't mean to say. So one is a gaffe. One is revealing. Now, look, we all have gaffes. I mean, I confuse things, and sometimes you're talking so fast. I had a church event in St. Louis where I said something like, you put the yard in on the sign, where I said, you put the sign in the yard. I mean, it's just normal. However, sometimes people say things that they know is true that they didn't mean to say. Now, look, I find this person to be a nice person. By all accounts, he's loyal to his wife. He's a Christian. He seems to be pleasant. I've met him. I actually met him at a Josh Hawley fundraiser. I think he was an awful president. In fact, I believe he was even a worse president than Bill Clinton. Not a worse person. I mean, Bill Clinton is the bottom of the barrel of a scumbag. But objectively, Bill Clinton was a better president. I've said that multiple times before. That's not breaking news. Bill Clinton balanced the budget. Bill Clinton had a very effective harsh on crime strategy. Now, Bill Clinton was not a good president, but we're dealing with George W. Bush, who gave us the Iraq War, Medicare Part D, or Part B. I always get it messed up. Massive debts and deficits, cheap money policies that led to the 2008 financial crisis, Chief Justice John Roberts. And yes, Andrew's exactly right. The 90s were objectively better. So Clinton was just overseeing a healthier country. The fourth turning, as historians will end up calling it, was just beginning in 1996. We're now hitting the climax of the fourth turning. A lot of it was a Reagan holdover. It was the kind of the top of the greatest generation. That's when they were at the pinnacle. And so I'm not saying all of it is on Bush, but Bush was an awful president. Every Republican, if you have any shred of honesty, you should say that. Now, the best thing that Bush did was probably give us Samuel Alito, who is the great justice on the Supreme Court. I'll give Bush credit for that. Bush gave us Samuel Alito. Okay. Disaster across the board. Gave us the TSA, Department of Homeland Security, kept our borders completely and totally wide open, foreign adventurism, World Trade Organization, strengthening of China, Patriot Act, domestic surveillance, No Child Left Behind, strengthened teacher unions. It was a disaster. We didn't have it. We didn't have the Tea Party movement. We didn't have the MAGA movement. We didn't have the America First movement. It was like this bipartisan cartel. So George W. Bush was given a speech yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And again, remember, he says this was a gaffe, but I want you to be the judge. is this something that he didn't mean? Or is this something he didn't mean to say? George W. Bush talking about the invasion of Ukraine? You be the judge. Play cut 86.
In contrast, Russian elections are rigged. Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process. The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, too. Anyway. 75. Here's the...
Did he mean not mean to say that, or did he say something he didn't mean? He's still the same. He's the same age as Trump, is what I'm told. Does George Bush want to come clean on something? Does he want to admit something? How one man could invade a country that you shouldn't invade? It's just poetically perfect. As George Bush is lecturing us about invading a sovereign country, about his moral grandstanding, about how dare somebody unilaterally invade a country. Iraq. I mean, Ukraine. Which one are we invading again? Now, interestingly, he's lecturing us, he said, no decent country will lock people in political prison. I totally agree. So what about the January 6th prisoners, George W. Bush, that are now in prison as political? What about James O'Keefe that had his apartment raided? How about Rudy Giuliani that had his apartment raided? George Bush is very quick to try to condemn foreign adversaries who are worthy of condemnation when his own political regime, the bipartisan cartel that runs D.C., they're doing the exact same thing. Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Super important announcement. Look, when you swipe your credit card, you're funding liberal causes. Dozens and dozens of times a month. Every time you swipe that card, you might as well do BLM, LGBT, BLM, LGBT, Clinton Foundation. But now there's a choice. I got to know these guys. I vetted them. Check out the technology. I'm a partner with them. I'm all in. It's called COIN, C-O-I-G-N. It's a new credit card built for conservatives. I'm moving all my credit card activity under COIN. And the COIN credit card is an unlimited cashback Visa credit card that is just like every other credit card you've ever owned, with one huge exception. Every time you use the COIN card, they contribute to conservative charities that support your values. I'm using it and you should too. Remember, we have to create a parallel economy, and this is a great new option. Act now. Go to COIGN.com right now to sign up to get a conservative COIN credit card. That's COIGN.com. Join COIN and let's start spending right. There's some very important races coming up, and one in particular that we want to highlight for you is a contentious gubernatorial primary. It's one happening in the great state of Georgia. Love Georgia and great people there. Unfortunately, they have a horrendous governor. And with us right now is someone, former senator from Georgia, who is primarying the sitting governor of Georgia, who is no longer a senator, largely because of the sitting governor of Georgia. And that is David Perdue, who is in a very contentious primary against Governor Brian Kemp. Senator Perdue, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Charlie, good to see you again, man. Thanks for everything you're doing.
Well, thank you. We did everything we could to try to push you across the finish line in that runoff. I believe that you would have avoided that runoff if the state of Georgia would have been run properly from an election standpoint with Governor Kemp. Tell us why you decided to launch this primary. Primary campaigns can be very difficult, especially against incumbents. Talk about that, why you're running, and how is the race going?
Well, Charlie, thanks for coming down to Georgia that time. We had the whole world to send down here, and you guys really made a difference. I should have never been in that runoff. Look, this race was rigged and stolen in November 2020. Our current governor was Secretary of State for 9 years. He was governor for 4. He's never enforced voting law in Georgia. He allowed a consent decree to go through that changed voter ID on absentee ballots. He allowed 7.5 million absentee ballots to be mailed out to every registered voter. He allowed drop boxes, and he allowed the change in the rule that allowed Zuckerberg to put $55 million into 9 Democrat counties. Everything I just mentioned is outside the law. So they violated the law by allowing all that to happen. And then afterwards, when I asked for a special session to get at to the problems before the runoff to fix these things, he denied that. I went to court. They denied that. I even asked for the resignation of our Secretary of State. I got so frustrated, Brad Raffensperger. And since then, as you've pointed out, with Greg Phillips and Catherine Engelbreit and the ballot trafficking data, there is hard evidence right now. The governor has been covering this data up and now is suppressing that evidence. And this is one of the reasons I ran. He has divided the party and cannot beat Stacey Abrams in the fall.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so just kind of add more detail and context, because leading up in 2020, you know, President Trump was doing everything he possibly could to try to warn Georgia and warn Brian Kemp that the increase of mail-in balloting was going to really weaken and jeopardize election security. My numbers are approximations, but my memory holds that in 2018, there were 248,000 people that voted by mail in the 2018 midterms. In the 2020 right. election, it was well over 1.2 million mail-in yeah. ballots. And yet Brian Kemp told us time and time again, everything was secure and safe. And, you know, I'm so glad you're primarying Brian Kemp, but I'll be very honest. You should be in the Senate still. We should have a majority. We'd be able yeah. to block a yeah. lot of this stuff. Can you talk about the national implications about how we went into an unnecessary Senate minority because of Brian Kemp's weakness? Chuck Schumer is leader today because of Brian Kemp. Please.
2 million illegals across the border in 1 year. You know, $5 a gallon gasoline in Georgia, double-digit inflation, a war in Ukraine, 13 dead soldiers in Afghanistan. That all started right here in Georgia on Brian Kemp's watch. He allowed it to happen. Look, we know where Stacey Abrams focused her effort. It wasn't on the Dominion machines necessarily. They need to go, and I've said I would get rid of them if I'm elected. But what they did is they focused on that 1.2 to 1.3 million absentee ballots. By the way, on 5 million people voting, a little more than 3.5 million people in 2020 voted in person with a photo ID, Charlie, and I won that race, and so did Trump, that section of the vote. We both won by 400,000 votes. The absentee ballots of 1.2 to 1.3 million, I lost that by 300,000 votes. Donald Trump was 11,000 votes short. We now have hard evidence on the Secretary of State's own website that there are 22,000 votes, irrefutable, that were too many votes cast for Joe Biden. We know that. It's hard evidence. The governor's seen it. He hasn't pursued it. He's actually trying to bury it right now. They're hoping to skate through this primary and let it all just wither away. I went to court. It was dismissed last week, Charlie, because the court basically says that I don't have legal standing. Earlier, another court said voters don't have legal standing. So 62 cases around this country, Charlie, as you have pointed out, have basically dismiss these cases, not because of the merits of the facts. They haven't even heard the facts. My judge dismissed our case without talking to one witness, one piece of evidence, or seeing any piece of evidence, and totally dismissed the case. So these dismissals are basically because they're saying voters and candidates don't have legal standing, which I think is ridiculous. But all that nonsense of the Biden failure and the Biden administration started right here in Georgia when we lost the Senate majority.
Oh, man, it just drives me nuts. So to the extent you can add context to this, I have my own speculation, but there's another whole level deeper of this, which is the signature verification standpoint to this. And anyone that supports Kemp in Georgia, I talk to him, and boy, when you challenge them on this, they run to the hills because they know it's true, which is that very quietly, I believe in March 2020, Governor Brian Kemp signed a consent decree with Stacey Abrams and her whole Mark Elias group, because he was getting relentlessly sued, which relaxed the signature verification thresholds, which then allowed the preconditions for this mass mail-in ballot scheme to then be taken advantage of even more by mules and other people. So Brian Kemp signed this very quietly without people really realizing it for months afterwards, not calling a special session, by the way, because he's not a leader, in the summer of 2020, which very well could have fixed a lot of these problems. Instead, he allowed all of these unconstitutional COVID regulations to be put through. Can you add some context to that and build that out on how the governor signed a secret deal with Stacey Abrams' entire group, the Elias group, which actually made it easier to cheat in the state of Georgia?
Well, it's where they went. They went to absentee ballots. They bullied our governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and attorney general. Just bullied them with lawsuits, threatening lawsuits, and so forth. So they did a consent decree, which is outside the law. I begged them when I first saw it and read it. They changed one word in the law that was an and to an or, which allowed for fraudulent signatures to come in on an envelope to be matched to a fraudulent application signature. They didn't have to check driver's license or a Social Security signatures or driver's license or voter registration signatures. That is, we have changed that law now. But back then, all he had to do was call a special session, put a stop to the consent decree. The governor actually didn't sign it. His lawyer did, but the attorney general and secretary of state did. But he did nothing to stop it. And he absolutely could have and should have. Later on, before the election, we had Republicans even in this state starting asking questions about it. They started losing confidence even before the November election. So this was on the governor's watch. He had been secretary of state for 9 years. He should have known better, but they just didn't want to have a fight with Stacey Abrams. So they caved in, not just to the consent decree, but then the agreements they made outside of that were just edicts, drop boxes, 7.5 million absentee ballots just mailed out. This was the Stacey Abrams formula. And then lastly, change the rules so you can give money directly to an election board, county election board. That's nuts, Charlie. That opens up for all kinds of fraud. And Zuckerberg marched through that gate with $55 million in Georgia. Now, this was on his watch, on Kemp's watch. He saw it happening, didn't do anything to stop it. And then after the fact, claimed we had a clean election for a year and a half. In our first debate 3 weeks ago, I challenged him on that. He said, oh, no, I never said it was a clean debate. That's a lie. He did say it was a clean election. But then in the debate, he said, we've always had fraud in our elections. But he certified the election anyway. It's a travesty what happened here in Georgia. It didn't need to happen. If he had investigated anything, even the true the vote data that came out in May of last year, a year later, he could have been a hero here. And he, for some reason, he just has chosen to keep his head down and deny anything happened.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speculate too much. I have my own opinions. I think he was just trying to cover his own political career.
Yeah,
and with it, two U.S. Senate seats, two of them.
Yeah.
And we have that punk Ossoff in the U.S. Senate, who I can't stand. And then the radical Raphael Warnock, and I pray we'll be able to get one of those seats back. In closing here, what does the race look like? It seems like there's some suppression polls that have been put out. You've been Trump endorsed. When is the election? What's happening here? Does it go to a runoff? There's all these kind of goofy rules in Georgia. What's going on?
Well, the media are desperate to have Brian Kemp run against Stacey Abrams. They can't wait for that to happen. These suppression polls are just that. They're a joke. There's no way they're correct. And what I'm seeing on the field is this. Almost half of the total voters that will vote in this primary will have voted by tomorrow night. And half of those did not vote in 2018. Four times the number of voters are voting right now than voted in early voting in 2018, Charlie. That tells me that the MAGA base has been pissed off and they've been waiting to step up. I had a lady tell me at an event last week, she said, you know, I didn't vote in January because I was concerned about the voting integrity and I was afraid my vote wouldn't count. But I'll tell you this, she said, if I have to crawl across a room of broken glass, I'm going to vote this time. And so I think that's what you're seeing in the early voting. We have a runoff rule that says that one of us has to get over 50% or we go into a runoff. It's only 4 weeks now. Back in November, December of 2020, it was a 9-week runoff, which also allowed people to parachute in here and register, even though I had voted in their home state. That was the other thing I wanted the governor to fix when I went to court and asked for a special session. We had over 150,000 people parachute in here, registered to vote, and voted in our runoff who didn't vote in the general election. I don't think that should be the case. They voted in their home state Senate race. Then they moved to Georgia, or quote, moved to Georgia, registered to vote, and then voted for two more Senate seats here in Georgia.
Jeez. It's just unbelievable. When is the election?
May 24th. It's next Tuesday. So we got one more day of early voting tomorrow, and then Tuesday is the voting day. So about half the people will probably vote on voting day.
Is the president going to come and do a rally before Tuesday? I know he endorsed you. What is there any update from that?
Yeah, he endorses. He came to Commerce, Georgia, had a big rally here, tens of thousands of people. We did a tele rally, had over 60,000 people on a tele rally phone call. We're going to have a tele rally Monday night again with him. We've got some other Sarah Palin's coming in on Friday to help us. But what we've seen from our governor is he has circled the wagons of all these incumbent Rhino Republicans. Pence is going to come in on Monday, and all they're doing is doing what the Republican Governors Association is doing. They're trying to protect their incumbents. These are all the rhinos, the anti-Trump faction of the Democrat part or the Republican Party, coming in here to make sure that Trump's candidate doesn't win. And I find it very disgusting. These are the guys that would do nothing when we were putting that agenda in Washington that turned our country around. They fought us at every step. So I'm very upset with our Republican brethren coming in here doing what they're now doing.
Everybody in Georgia, we have a lot of listeners in Georgia, a lot of grassroots activists. You've got to vote for Perdue. We got to get Kemp out of there. He'll do the right thing. We need a grassroots campaign, person to person. Get the word out. Coming this Tuesday, if you haven't voted yet, vote for David Perdue. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming and on the show. We got your back. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Charlie.
How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the 3-week quick start too. Discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now.
There's 11. That's a good starting point. 11 is more than I actually thought we would get. Rand Paul courageously stood up against the unanimous consent bill and decided to demand a roll call. And now the roll call of the Ukraine vote is done. The Senate has approved the bill to Ukraine. But these 11 Republicans deserve praise and thanks. And then you should say, why is it that some of the Republicans that were used to putting up a fight, why are they voting for $40 billion to Ukraine? Well, the 11 Republicans that voted no to this bill are the following. Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. She was on our program recently. Thank you, Marsha. Marsha is definitely a more hawkish member, and I don't say that in a criticizing way. She just is. And the fact she voted against this is awesome. Senator Boozman. Now, this is an interesting one. He's from Arkansas. He's kind of what I call in the unknown group of Republican senators, meaning like he really doesn't go on TV much. You don't think of him much. The reason he voted against this is because he's in a very contentious primary campaign against a pretty exciting candidate in Arkansas by the name of Jake Paquette. This guy, Jake Paquette, was on Tucker last week, and I only know him because he was on Tucker because they misspelled his name on a ballot. The guy looks like he's a total stud. He's like 6'5", 265. He played tight end for the New England Patriots. Really well-spoken. He was on Tucker, and he's talking about running a primary campaign, running an America First campaign. If he forces a runoff against Boozman, that'd be a race for us to look at. That's why Boozman voted against this bill. But good. God bless him. Senator Mike Braun from Indiana, otherwise previously known as BLM Braun, because he was very pro-BLM, he's repented since we went after him rather aggressively two summers ago. Is that right? Yeah, 2 summers ago. He's been great ever since. And thank you, Senator Mike Braun, for voting no against aiding the corrupt Ukrainian government. Senator Crapo from Idaho, who is definitely in the hawkier direction. I don't know why. I think he has a primary campaign that actually was a couple days ago. But honestly, good for him. Senator Hagerty, who's ending up being a phenomenal surprise, honestly, out of Tennessee. I thought he would be much more in the hawkish direction, but he voted against the infrastructure bill and now against this Ukraine bill. Senator Hagerty, awesome. Thank you. No surprise here. Friend of the program, Senator Josh Hawley, thumbs up. Senator Rand Paul, thumbs up. Senator Mike Lee, who we need to help in Utah, who's in a very, very complicated race in Utah. Senator Cynthia Lummis,
She's fun. If you ever met her, she's a fun person. I think she might be coming to our young women's event. I'm not sure. Obviously, Senator Rand Paul, I think I said that. Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas. And the coach actually surprised me with this vote. And I'm really glad he voted the way he did. Coach Tommy Tuberville from Alabama voted no. 6 years ago, we would have had maybe only two or three no votes, maybe four. And now we have 11. That's a good sign. I know that's super depressing for some of you, but these foreign policy votes are never challenged. It's like unanimous consent. There's Rand Paul. Okay. 11? If you can disrupt the capital flows to corrupt foreign regimes, you're really shaking the matrix of the DC power structure. J.D. Vance would be a no. I know a lot of others that are marching towards D.C. And once you start to get to that 15, 17, 20 number, you're getting closer to blocking cloture, blocking unanimous agreement. It's the little victories. 11 Republicans. I want to say them again, even though I disagree with some of them on a lot of different things. Blackburn, Boozman, Braun, Crapo, Hagerty, Hawley, Lee, Lummis, Paul, Marshall, Tuberville. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.